today we're going to continue on from our message last week talking about us knowing God more, us understanding more of Him, experiencing more of Him, having more of Him, Him and everything that is Him, all of the benefits of the kingdom. Glory to God. How many of you know we get benefits in the kingdom? You know, when you start a job and you go into a job, one thing that happens many times, you're like, what are the benefits? What are the benefits here? Well, listen, the first benefit, of course, we know of getting in the kingdom is that we get taken out of a hell, come on, the destiny of hell, and our names get written in the Lamb's book of life, and we jump right over into eternal life. And really, to be honest, I don't know how you feel about it, but this is how I feel. If that was all that God ever did for me this side of heaven, it would be enough. Come on, this earth life is short, you know, just 80 years, just 100 years, whatever it is. Some of you going for 120. That it pales. It's short in comparison to eternity. I say this all the time and I mean it. If God never did another thing for me, it would be enough. Just being saved, just having my name written in heaven, just knowing that I can access God, just knowing that I can call Him Father, just knowing that I can have a brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, just knowing that I can be filled with the power of God, the presence by the Holy Spirit is enough. And really, that's what keeps me so happy to be in the family, because my life is not about all of the circumstances and are things right and how things are going on. But I want to tell you that when you get in the kingdom, there are some benefits. There are some benefits that come along. Some things that God promises us, and He actually tells us in Psalms to forget not all of the benefits. And that's why we're in a perpetual, continual, intense, all-out pursuit of knowing God and all that He is. So that we can experience God, not just one day to come in heaven, but experience God and the kingdom of God now. It's important. God set it up that way where we can have that today. And if God said we can have it, I want it, don't you? Hallelujah, I want it, don't you? Praise God. I want to be, I love meeting with God. I love talking with God, listening with God. You know, prayer is the way that we learn more of God, that we get closer to God. It's through prayer that we position ourselves to draw near to Him. Yeah. And what does James chapter 4, verse 8 says? That when we draw near to Him, what happens? He draws near to us. So praying, it's such a delight. It's such a joy. It's such a blessing. Praying and fasting. Praying and fasting. Woo! I'm gonna keep throwing that in there. I'm gonna keep throwing that in there. We do have some books in the bookstore. I always like to show you things that'll help you. This is the best book I have ever read on corporate praying. There is such a power in corporate praying. And yes, God wants you to have an individual prayer life, but He also wants you to know about, understand, and participate in corporate praying. So if you've not got this book, you need to get it. Listen, a praying church is a powerful church. Amen. Thank you very much. Also, this book in the back, it's called The Master is Calling by Lynn Hammond. One of the best Spirit-led books, Spirit-filled prayer books that I've ever read. Why? That's why we have these things in the faith store, so that you can glean from them, you can get them and let you anchor your life. So this is a book that you need to get so that you can make sure you're understanding how to pray in your own personal time. And I'm not just praying like little prayers that we're just trying to think of things. I'm talking about engaging with the Spirit of God so that our prayers are reaching heaven. Our prayers are in faith. Hallelujah. And so this morning, I just, again, my goal here this morning is just to encourage you in going after more of God and recognizing the importance that prayer has in our lives as a believer. Amen? You know, there's no special people that have special prayer ministries. We all have a prayer ministry to the Lord Jesus. And the sooner we just accept that and believe that, You know, let me just throw a little side note in right here about that. Years ago, when I first was spirit-filled and learning all kinds of stuff about the kingdom, you know, I was setting my heart to learn to become a godly wife. I was not married yet at the time, but I was setting my heart. I knew that God had some instruction and had some things to say. Well, I found out something. I found out that according to God, men and women are different. And I'm not just talking about on the outside. I'm not just talking about our physical components. I'm talking about we're made different. There's some inherent things that God put in a man that he didn't put in a woman, and some inherent things that God put in a woman that he didn't put in a man. And you know what I instantly realized is that the world, through the thing of dating and through the thing of counseling and trying to encourage people about being married, and all that, what they've tried to do is erase all of the differences and try to help us how, you know, we're just supposed to come together and, you know, the woman is, she can be as strong as the man and all that kind of stuff. And I realized that's why it ain't working. And so I recognized that when I took hold of the fact that men were different than women and women were different from men and God created us that way. And so therefore I embraced those differences to learn how to blend, how to complement, how to make it work. So it wasn't like a power struggle, but rather it's a holy union. I just found that life got a whole lot better. Sometimes we have to stop kicking against the things that are God. And that's how it is many times in prayer when we haven't really yet submitted ourselves, when we haven't really yet bought into the revelation of the necessity of prayer, of the benefits of prayer. We kind of just begin to say, well, praying is for those people. You know, those special people, they have intercessors or they have prayers and they're really called to pray. I mean, they're the ones, they're called, you know, to pray out the church, to pray out the church stuff and to make the church stuff. They're the ones because they're the, you know, God has put something special. You know, you're doing yourself a big disservice because you're not agreeing with God. God has called all of us to pray. We all have a place to pray. I told you last week about the vision I had with the Lord. We're from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where he says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. There's a call to every Christian. The Lord is saying, let you come. You come. You come and you pray. Come on, Christian. You come and you pray. And how the Lord has made a special place for every single believer to stand in their place of grace, in their place of prayer, petitioning, decreeing, believing, confessing. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a special thing, this thing with prayer. Prayer is what connects us with God. Prayer is our meeting place with God. Prayer is the place that revelation comes to you. Prayer is the place that visitation comes to you. It's in the place of prayer that we meet with God and we're enlarged in understanding who He is and how He works. It's in the place of prayer that we're able to receive from Him, to gain things from Him, things that we need for living effectively. I mean, we're called to live effectively. Come on. We're called to keep our eyes on the prize that is ahead of us, but we're called to win the race. We're called to run like we're going to win. So we're all called to pray. And what a privilege, what a privilege. It's a privilege to pray, praying with God, talking with God. Not just praying a prayer and not wondering, you know, it's like out into the air. No, God is listening. The minute I sit down, the minute I position my heart, the minute I recognize His presence, the minute I use the name of Jesus, the minute with my faith that I begin to lift my voice up, God is there. And we're talking to Him. We have audience with God Almighty. And talking and listening. Praying is also listening. Not just always coming to God with your list and coming to God with your tell God the few things you need to know, But it's listening to God. It's worshiping Him. It's communing with Him. It's watching. Have you ever sat down with your heart with the Lord to watch what the Lord might show? Hallelujah. Praying is precious. Leonard Ravenhill said this. He said, no man is greater than his prayer life. He said, the pastor or the minister who is not praying is playing. And he said, and the people or the saints who are not praying are straying. And then he went on to say this. He said, failing here, meaning in prayer, we fail everywhere. Uh-oh. Failing here, we fail everywhere. Yes, much of the success of your Christian life is going to depend on your place of prayer. You being a person of prayer. Knowing how to pray. And then positioning yourself and giving yourself over to prayer. Because again, that is where we meet God. It is where we encounter Him and things of the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, all throughout the Bible, we can see this. We certainly see it in the Bible that as people prayed, that they met with God, that they encountered God, that they encountered something of His kingdom. We see this in Revelation chapter 1, starting out in verse 10. This is the Apostle John, where it first says that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That means he was praying. That means he had positioned himself before the Lord. And he said, as I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, and saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And then I turned to see the voice that speaks with me. And having turned, I saw. And then he begins to describe what he saw and how he saw the Lord and how he saw the seven spirits of God. But what happened is here we see that John positioned himself in prayer. And because of it, he experienced God. Because of it, he heard the voice of the Lord. Because of it, he saw some things of heaven. Because of it, he got a revelation of things pertaining to the kingdom of God in the earth, in this day, and even things that were to come. We see another example in the Bible in Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, about Peter. Peter decided one day he was going to go up to the rooftop to pray. Why did he go up to the rooftop? Listen, sometimes you got to find a spot. You got to find a place. Come on, where the TV's not going. Come on, where the children aren't interacting. Come on, where the telephone's not ringing. All that. So you got to get yourself away. Come on, go up to the rooftop. Come on, go under the table. Come on, go out to the car. Come on, take a walk. But it says that It says, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray. In other words, he had a mission. He had a mission to go up to the rooftop to pray. Sometimes you have to set your mission in your heart and then don't let anything disturb it. I mean, you're climbing up to the rooftop and the phone rings. Don't look. Don't look. Did you know there was a day when we didn't have phones that we carried with us all over the place? And we survived. Did you know there was a day we didn't have to carry our phone with us through the food line at Luby's? And we survived. Listen, when you determine that it's time to pray, you just made an appointment with God. Don't get sidetracked. Oh, my phone went off. Maybe I'll do it later. No. Meeting with God is important. It says that he went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry. I fasted all day yesterday, did y'all? I'm hungry, but I'm more hungry for God than I am for any food. Okay, here we go. He became hungry. And it says he wanted to eat. But that didn't interfere with his appointment with God. He had just made an appointment with God. And he went up even though he was hungry. While they made ready, it says he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. What happened? He prayed. He set himself to pray, and heaven opened. Wow. Something of heaven. I'm experiencing heaven. And the Lord showed him something. Something that was vital not only to his own life, but to the body of Christ. Gave him a revelation that was very revelatory at that moment about Gentiles being called into the gospel. Hallelujah. Praying is precious. Praying is powerful. And that is why the Lord calls us to pray. He has to remind us the importance of taking time to pray. Because listen, there's no one here that wouldn't agree that we're living in a very busy day, busy time, things always trying to press into our schedule and rush us. But we must make time to pray. I remember years ago, this was in my early days, I was working a secular job, and I had what I called the busy season of the year. And that year, at every time, it was a lot of work. And so I was the head of that department, and I was responsible for all of it and getting it done. And so I knew that typically, about 70-hour weeks was what I worked during this period. I worked every Saturday. I tried to take Sundays off, but I worked a lot of hours. And I had help in my department. I particularly had one girl that was an assistant of mine, and she was really sharp and really efficient, and I was always so grateful for her help. And it was important. You know, the two of us together working lots of hours was the only way that we could accomplish all of this work. And so one year she came to me, and she said, my husband and I were thinking about having a baby. And I'm like, okay. I'm thinking, where's this leading? And she's like, well, I want to try to do this so that I don't have my baby in busy season. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so she was trying to coordinate, you know, the time to get pregnant so that she could get through busy season before she had her baby. I was so thankful. I mean, that's commitment. That's commitment to work. But what happened is she had her baby premature. And she went out the very first week of busy season. And so I was like, I'm thinking, I don't know. I mean, the deadlines can't be pushed, but I just went to the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know. I don't know how to do this. I don't know. I mean, I'm a very fast worker. I'm efficient. I mean, but I just don't see how I can do technically two people's work and still get this done. And when I was kind of talking with the Lord, now remember, I'm a night person, so I do all my praying at night. I don't like to get up like super early. I'm happy when I get up, and I don't like hit the alarm a bunch of times, but like I get up in time to get ready and then go do what I'm going to do. So night is my time with the Lord. And so as I was just kind of sharing my heart with the Lord about how I was feeling about this and concerned, the Lord said to me, get up an hour early and pray. Well, I was already getting up earlier than normal because I was having to work 70-hour weeks, and so my days had to start earlier, and I was like, surely I didn't hear that. So the first week, you know, went and I was struggling. And then the second week came and I heard the Lord say, one day I was praying and I heard the Lord say, get up and pray an hour in the morning. And when I did that, I looked over on my bookshelf and I had a bunch of spiritual books there. And the book title was something like Praying 1 Hour. I mean, it's like the title of the book just jumped out. Didn't say in the morning, but it just jumped out at me. And I was thinking, I don't think I've ever read that book. So when I looked at the book, the Lord said, read it. And so now I'm thinking, oh, now he wants me to read a book? Come on, Lord. Are you kidding me? You know I'm working 70 hours a week, 80 hours a week. I can't even do this. And you're telling me now to read a book. And then I heard you whisper, pray an hour in the morning. But you know what? I know that the Lord knows things that I don't know. And the Lord knows how to work out things that I don't know. And the Lord knows that He knows how to do things that I don't know. And what I realized was that at that moment, I didn't know how I was going to be able to do. So I just decided that I would go ahead and do what the Lord said. And I would just put the pressure on the Lord. Because the Lord already knew I had work to get done and beyond my ability. And so I just committed to reading that book, and I read it very, very quickly because in the reading of that book, it just anchored, my faith. And what happens, especially when the Lord says to get up and do something, but when I just began to get up every morning, so I would force myself out of bed every morning. Actually, I had my daddy call me for the first few weeks because he's like an early riser, and he like does that real quick. Easily, but I knew I needed some help, and so he would call me in the morning, and he would say, "Now you get up and you go pray like the Lord said." And so I would get up, and I would go pray. I would go pray like the Lord said. But what happened is, for me, I just got filled with God and full of God. And God, I don't know. Still to this day, I don't know how God did it, but He just ordered my days. He gave me a revelation of time redemption, how He can stretch days. And I would get home at the end of the day, and I would think, there's no way physically possible that I could have just gotten done everything. I've done this for years upon years. I knew what it took. It was just something so supernatural. And I want you to know that I finished all of my work. I didn't work any extra. After the mornings that I started getting up and praying, I did not work more than my 70-hour. So I was doing two people's jobs in the same amount of time because God was in it. Because I met with Him every morning. Because in the morning, something, when I would meet with Him, something would happen, and something just in me would give me the ability to do what I needed to do, meeting with God. See, in the natural, I'm thinking, I don't have an extra hour. But meeting with God, it's worth it. We have to understand these things so that we connect ourselves with the power that is in praying, with the necessity that is in praying. Praying and fasting. You know that book I showed, the book of The Master is Calling by Lynn Hammond? She tells this story. Now, she is a prayer. She prays all the time. She loves to pray. She tries to teach people to pray. Prays all the time. And so she had a prayer group, lots of prayer groups at her churches, but this particular prayer group decided that they were going to get together, and their main goal was to pray and then go out and witness. And so their whole thrust of that prayer group was that they were going to have a thrust of evangelism, and they were going to pray. You know, they were going to ask God for the heathen as their inheritance. They were going to ask God that He would send laborers across their path. That they were going to ask God that as they spoke with people that He would fill their mouth, and that the power of God would come in, and the Holy Spirit would arrest people, convict them of their sin, convince them of their righteousness. You know, they were going to pray, and they were going to go out in mighty things. I mean, and they begin meeting, and so what they do is they would meet for an hour and they would pray, and then they would go out on the streets. And they were patterned. She said, I talked to the Lord many, many times about the book of Acts, because this is what we saw in Acts. They would pray and then they would go out and things would happen. And so the first thing was that her prayer group was very small, like maybe five people. And she was asking the Lord, you know, what's wrong with the church? Why won't the church come pray? Why won't the church? But they kept meeting, they kept going out, and they would go out and they would find some people to talk to, but they really weren't having much what we would call spiritual success. You know, we know they were successful in the eyes of God first because they were just being a witness. So that right there gets you a big check mark. That right there gets you reward in heaven. But she was wanting to see the results for the people in the earth. She was wanting to see people get saved and healed and delivered. And so, but they stayed steady and they just kept doing it. And so a month went by, small crowd, hardly anything going on. Another month goes by, it's really small, people coming for prayer, hardly anything happening. One day she was praying and the Lord said, He said, well, if you're only going to do half of what the book of Acts church did, you're only going to get half of the results. And she said, what are you talking about? And the Lord said, they didn't just pray. They fasted and prayed. If you want the same results that the book of Acts early church had, you're going to have to do the same thing that the early church did in its fullness. And so she went in that week and she told the group. Now, very, very small group of people. I think by that time it might have gone to eight or something like that. She told him, we said, we're going to start fasting. She said, we're going to fast the whole entire day, the night that we come for prayer, or the day, I don't remember how it was, maybe it was on a Saturday, but we're going to fast so that when we come for prayer, we're connected, we can pray effectively, and then we're going to go out on the street. While we're out on the street, we're not going to walk around and get our Cokes and popcorns. And no, we're there to work. We're going to fast. Well, you know what happened? The prayer group blew up. I mean, within like a month, they had like 100 people. And then I think before you know it, they went to like 200 people that were showing up. And then they were going out on the streets and all kind of God stuff. I mean, people were getting saved and they were having healings. I'm talking about notable healings, not just say, I prayed for someone and I think they, no, that they could testify right there that things were happening. People were getting delivered. It was a glorious time. Fasting and praying will help us. It's the disciplines of a Christian, fasting and praying. Praying, it counts. Praying, it matters. It matters. Hey, Lana, when you pray, your prayers carry great weight in the Spirit of God. Great weight. Every word you say carries great weight. They're weighty in the presence of God. Your prayers, they're powerful. And the Lord says He'll work with you in those prayers. And you'll see the fruit of the things that you pray. Praying. We've got to pray. We've got to pray. James chapter 5, verse 16, I mentioned it last week, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Avails much, makes tremendous power available, gives God access, fervent, heartfelt. Fervent is heartfelt. You know that with the kingdom, the way that we invest in the kingdom is with our heart. You know that, right? Things of the kingdom aren't like that. But in the kingdom, what God, the investment that God is looking for with your heart, He's looking for you to invest with your heart. Pray with your heart. Give with your heart. Serve with your heart. Because we don't want to get to heaven one day and as we're standing before Jesus at the throne, we see all of our works are going to go through the fire. And things that we did with the wrong motive or wrong purpose, things that we didn't do from our heart are going to burn up. So we do things from our heart. We pray with our heart. We pray because we want to. We pray because we know how important it is. The Lord Himself works with our prayers. Our prayers give Him access to do things in the lives of people, in situations. One time the Lord said this through me as I was praying. This came up from my heart by the Spirit through me. It said, so it shall be just as I decree because the Lord works with me. It'll be just as I say, just as I pray, because then the Lord makes the way. You need to understand what's happening when you're praying. I mean, God is looking for people that can pray in the earth today and give Him something to work with. You do know that Isaiah 45:11 says this. It says, thus says the Lord, command you the work of my hands. We act like we're sitting around just waiting for God to command things. God says He's waiting for you with your heart, in faith, by the Spirit, to command some things so that He can work that with His hands. Hallelujah. Listen, when we pray, heaven gets involved. When Lana prays, heaven gets involved. Heaven works with us. We have a heavenly assistance. Y'all remember the story in Acts chapter 5, right? Peter had been put in prison. And it says that his company of believers, come on, the saints that were connected with him, come on, the people of God that were in relationship with him, it says that they were meeting together, offering up continual prayers for Peter. And you remember what happened, right? Because they were offering up prayers, giving God something to work with, making power available, the Lord sent an angel to Peter in prison and delivered him. Didn't need to go before the courts. Nothing. Just send an angel. Come on, break the chains off of him. Open all the prison doors and walk right out. Because the people were praying. It's so powerful when we pray. Praying is what puts things in spiritual motion. Praying in faith, of course, but praying is what makes things happen. When we pray, we're meeting with God. So here's an encounter I had one time in entreating heaven and also talking about what we say. So we were having a prayer meeting here at the church, and this was back in the days when I was leading the Tuesday prayer meeting. And I would, you know, as I was going in that day, I was asking the Lord, well, Lord, you know, it's corporate prayer. What do you want to pray about? What do you want to do here? Because we pray by the Spirit, right? I mean, the Lord knows what needs prayed better than you do. I'm going to remind you about that. I said, the Lord knows what needs prayed better than you do. And so we looked to him. And so as I was walking in the prayer meeting that day, I heard the Lord say this. He said, pray out into the future for the church. And I'm thinking, well, I don't really know what's in the future. I don't really know. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know all the things that are in the future. Okay, but the Lord said, pray into the future. So I went into the people. I said, well, the Lord said that we're going to pray out into the future. So we're going to give our heart, we're going to give our voice into praying out things that we don't know in the future. But I said this, I said, I do know the one who does know the future. We do know the one who knows all things that are to come. We do know the one of the things that are destined and the things that God has set before us. I know him. His name is the Holy Spirit. And so I said, what we're going to do is we're going to pray in the Holy Spirit. We're going to position our hearts and know that we're praying about the church into the future, but we're going to pray in tongues. We're going to pray in the Spirit. I don't know English to pray. I don't know anything. And so we begin praying, and we're praying, and I'm not talking about I'm talking about praying fervently, passionately. And all of a sudden, as we were praying, I had a spiritual vision, and my eyes opened up into the spirit realm, into a vast space. And as we were praying, speaking in tongues, not words of English, not words of our understanding, but words by the Holy Spirit, I saw words shoot out into the spirit realm. It's like the things that we were saying were words that were from God coming out of our mouth into the spirit realm. Well, I have to tell you, to be honest, I was a little, I hoped I kept praying in tongues. I really don't remember because I was a little mesmerized. I was like, wow, you know, I've never really seen this. I mean, I know that when we pray, it's important, but actual words of God were going out into the spirit realm. And as I was watching those words shooting out into the spirit realm, now we know that all things are done in the spirit before they're done in the earth. You know that, right? As I was watching those words come out, all of a sudden, out of my side peripheral vision, I heard this sound, and it's an angel. It's an angel comes from the outer corner like this, swoops up the word. Those words that are coming out, swoops up that word and takes off. And then another angel, and they all started coming from all different directions, grabbing the words that we were praying in the spirit and taking off to perform them. I mean, that is what Psalm 103:20 says. It says that the angels of the Lord, they hearken to the voice of the Lord. Well, guess who's his voice in the earth? You are. And it says they hearken to that voice to go out and do or to perform the word. This is scriptural. What happened that day? You know what happened for me that day? Even though I've been a tongue talker since I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've always known the importance, it just solidified me. Wow, wow, wow. When we pray in tongues, even though my mind doesn't know what's going on, even though it's unfruitful up here, in the spirit, things are happening. I mean, heaven is getting involved with my praying, with our praying. Glory to God. I had another time of just showing you how important your prayers are, how your prayers are what calls heaven to come on the scene. So another time we were here at church having corporate prayer, And I was sitting there, and I think in the beginning we had started out spending just a little time praying for ourselves so that we could prepare our hearts to get ready to begin to pray for the church. And as I was praying about my ministry, about some things that I felt like the Lord was putting before me, and I felt by the Spirit, and I didn't come up with this, I just felt by the Spirit to ask for heavenly assistance in what was needed to get this accomplished. And then all of a sudden, we began to switch in the corporate prayer time, we began to switch into praying for the church. And as I was praying, I had just finished, you know, asking the Lord for heavenly assistance, angelic assistance, not praying to angels, not praying to angels. And I don't even suggest that you ask about them unless you're prompted by the Spirit. This has only happened to me like three times I can think of where I was prompted by the Spirit to actually ask. Because God really knows and He can do whatever. You don't have to specifically ask unless you're directed. But all of a sudden, I saw heaven open. And when I saw heaven, what I saw were spiritual things that we needed. I saw revelation. I saw power. And it's just like in this moment, I was praying in tongues. In this moment, I could just grab up and go like this. And so, you know, I was sitting in my chair. I started out, I was sitting in my chair. And I just started grabbing. We'll take some of that, Lord. Oh, healings. Oh, we'll take some of that, Lord. And so I was picking things out of the heavenly and throwing them down into the church. And at first it started, I had one hand. And then all of a sudden it's like the magnitude of what is available in heaven. And I started reaching. People probably thought I was crazy. I don't care. I started reaching with my other hand. And I was like grabbing as much as I could. And then all of a sudden I felt this urgency. Like there's so much to get. And like I'm not getting it all. And so then I was like having my whole body, you know, I was trying to grab it and pull it, like hold it here, and then throw it in, and then I'm grabbing it and I'm throwing. I just wanted so badly everything that was available. But then all of a sudden, on both sides of me, I felt them. The angels. And as I was reaching into heaven, they began reaching with me. They were helping me. They were helping me pull the very things that we needed out of. And then I started into departments. I was pulling things into the nursery department, into the kids' church, come on, into the youth. This is why prayer is not boring. First of all, I got a workout. I got a workout again this morning. See, the Lord accomplishing two things at once. This is why we pray. Things happen when we meet with the Lord. I've seen this in so many capacities. I've seen angels show up so many times, doing so many things, helping with the ministry, helping heal people. But we pray. We pray. Our prayers is what gives God something to work with. It's our prayers that help God and all of heaven and all of heaven's abilities and graces and giftings and power and everything come in our midst so that we can get the job done. So when we pray with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray by the Holy Spirit. And we pray in the Holy Spirit, which includes tongues. It includes tongues. It's very important. Listen to what it says in Jude 20. It says this. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Then verse 21 goes on to say, keeping yourselves in the love of God. So we can't ever minimize the importance or the truth that everything works by faith and love. Everything of the kingdom, this side of heaven, works by faith. And our faith works by love. And so this scripture is telling us that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, when we pray in the Spirit, in tongues, that number one, we keep ourselves in the love of God. When you find yourself getting crusty, When you find yourself getting dull, when you find yourself getting rude, when you find yourself not liking people, come on, when you find yourself having a hard time getting along, just pray in the Spirit some, please. So that you can keep yourself in the love of God. Have that love stirred up in you. But it's as we pray in the Spirit that we release our most holy faith. Listen, did you know that you can release your most holy faith? Not just faith, but most holy. I believe that faith has some levels. I'm not going to get into this today, but the most holy faith is the purest faith that is. And the reason why is because you don't have to have an understanding in your mind about what you're praying. When you can release faith and simply know that you reached heaven, that God heard you and that God is doing something beyond you understanding it and trying to figure out how it's going to work or when it's going to work out, that is your most holy faith. And God can do it when we don't even have a mental comprehension of it. Last week, you know, the Spirit of the Lord began to move up front and I was prophesying over a bunch of people. And I just remember this because it was so powerful. I don't remember who it was, but I was standing in front of somebody and the Lord said something to the effect of, whenever you pray or whenever you have a vision, or don't get mental afterwards. And I always have to try to figure out what it meant, when's it happening, what's going to, don't do that. He told that person, he said, when you come out of a vision, just simply pray in tongues and release your most holy faith. The Lord said, I might not even need your understanding to get it done. I think we lose out on things sometimes because we get mental, and then we try to figure them out or put them in place or what does this mean or how. And so first of all, if we can't do that, then we think it wasn't God. We discount the prophecy. I know prophecies can be off. Not all prophecies are of God, of the Spirit. That's okay. If you get one and you feel that way, just toss it aside and don't worry about it. But some things are of the Spirit. And you in the moment have a right feeling and you have a peaceable feeling. But then afterwards you begin to put your own mind on it and think that you're supposed to have to understand every single thing. That's not true. As a prayer, my job is to stand between God in the earth, and I'm the vessel. I'm simply the vessel. And I can pray out things in tongues that my mind will never understand. And if I can simply release my most holy faith and not release it or let go of it or doubt it, then God can do it. That is so powerful. Praying in your holy faith, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Wow. So the more I pray in tongues, the more I realize my mind is never going to get it all. I mean, my mind is way, 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 way too small for the things of God. But we do need to know that when we're talking about prayer, that faith is important, that faith is required, that faith is part of the place of us praying. And in the Spirit is part of, it's part of praying. In tongues, it's part of praying. We're going to have to pray in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. Every single one. That this is where, don't discount yourself. Don't think, oh, she's talking about those people next to me. It's okay if I don't do it. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not okay if you don't pray in tongues. Because if you don't pray in tongues, you're missing out on some aspect of something that God wants to bring to you and through you. And because you're missing out, I'm missing out. You know, we affect each other. We do know that, right? This is not like just a one, everybody's not their own one-man show. So one time, Pastor Chaz was preaching on praying in the Spirit, the importance of praying in the Spirit. And this is what the Lord said to me. I'm going to read it to you exactly. So this is the Lord speaking. He said, there is never a season nor a reason to not speak or pray in tongues. Then he said, tongues, tongues, it is of me. Tongues, tongues, it's not from the enemy. Tongues, tongues will open up spiritual things freely. Amen. Tongues, tongues, You need to do it more. Tongues, tongues, it will open every door. Tongues, tongues will bring forth the things that I have in store. Tongues, tongues, don't negate and don't resist. Tongues, tongues, go with it. Do it. I insist. Tongues, tongues will cause spiritual leadings to not be missed. Tongues, tongues will cause you to overcome the test. Tongues, tongues will bring you into my rest. Tongues, tongues will cause your life to be blessed. Tongues, tongues, give yourself over and make way. Tongues, tongues, a must, I say. Tongues, tongues, for you is relevant and necessary today. And we got to embrace who the Holy Ghost is and what the Holy Ghost brings. And because we're Bible people, how many of you are Bible people? We believe what the Scripture says. And the Scripture says that when Jesus said, you know, I command you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that the Bible proves out that the evidence of that, being filled with the Holy Spirit, is speaking in tongues. And so I'm not going to allow you to tell me that you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you don't speak in tongues, because it's not scriptural. You do have the Spirit of God in you. You do have the seal of the Spirit in you. You do have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you, but He hasn't filled you. He hasn't come upon you and cloaked you with that power. We must be Spirit-filled. We must speak in tongues. We must pray in tongues. Tongues, it's really, tongues is the things that gives you the spiritual charge in your life, the power that's necessary for you to live victoriously and to do the works of Jesus. Amen. Praying in tongues, you're going to have to do it to maximize your spiritual life. That's what we see with the Apostle Paul, right? We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, Paul says that I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord, and a man I know in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, but such a one was caught up to the third heaven. He's talking about himself. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. He had a heavenly encounter. He gained some knowledge of some things about heaven. Here's a little tip that I wish the whole body of Christ could get, but I'm going to at least say it to my own people because we're in it together. You ought not be telling everything you see and know in prayer. I would say 90% of the things that I see and know, I don't say, even to my husband. You don't need to wear what you know in praying as a spiritual badge to show people that you're spiritual, that you heard from God. That's what Paul said. He said, I didn't have to tell people. I saw things that were just between me and the Lord. I'm sure these were things that Paul had to pray out and Paul had to hook up with in prayer so that he could give God the power, the place, the rightful access so that those things could come about. But what I know about Paul is that Paul prayed in tongues a lot. He actually said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. I've always taken that as a challenge. Seriously. I want to get to heaven and say, Paul. First of all, very nice to meet you. Thank you for everything you wrote. That scripture. Can we check the record books? But Paul prayed in tongues all the time. Why? He knew. He knew it was necessary for it to maximize his spiritual life so that he could be the vessel in prayer and have God move mightily in the earth. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we're after? And listen.
listen, tongues, oh, let me tell you what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. It says that when we speak in tongues, we don't speak to men, but we speak to God.
Can I just say it? I have found that God is the best prayer partner. Because when I'm praying with God, that doesn't negate corporate prayer. I'm not saying that. But I mean, when you're praying with God and you're really connected with God, you don't even have to be concerned about what you're praying or how you're praying or is anybody, you know, so powerful to pray with God. When we speak in tongues, we don't speak to men. We speak to God. And you know what praying is? Praying is speaking to God. So speaking in tongues is always part of your praying. It is praying. And it's important that we can pray in tongues. And not only just tongues, tongues as an exercise, tongues to build ourselves up, tongues to stir ourselves up, tongues to activate ourselves is very, very, very good, absolutely. But there's also other aspects of tongues. And letting yourself get into, I've been in tongues before, praying, just lifting up my heart before the Lord, and all of a sudden the dialect of my tongue will change. And I'll know that I'm going down something in the river. Sometimes I know what it is, sometimes I don't know what, but it's like I'm going down this part of the river. How did I get there? I got there through tongues. I got the direction of the Lord of where to go, of what to pray, of how, right there in tongues. And so I just pray with it. I mean, I just pray with it until I feel like I've prayed it through. The power of praying in tongues. I'm so thankful that God has given us tongues. Because one thing that tongues does is it bypasses our mind. Our thinking that we have to know and understand all the time every single thing about praying, how to pray, what to pray, when to pray. I found that really praying with the Spirit in my early days almost broke every prayer rule. Because God is looking for the Spirit to lead us in our prayers. I remember when I first got married and first was getting ready to get married and everything, and people used to tell me, you have to pray for your husband every single day. And I'm like, where does the Bible say that? Not that I don't love my husband, not that I don't want to pray for my husband, but I'm not going to pray just vain repetition, just say something just to say that I can pray for my husband. I have a standing, perpetual relationship with God about my husband, as he does with me. And if I don't feel the need on one certain single day to pray for him, that's okay, because my prayers are Spirit-led. And if something needs to be prayed out, I will trust that God will lead me to do that or have one of you do it. You know, my husband is not just, he's not just my responsibility, he is my husband, but he's also your brother, and he's also your pastor. And it might be that God's moving upon you that day to pray what needs to be prayed for Pastor Chaz. But what I found was that I just made my prayers a whole lot more free. I don't even have to pray for Houston Faith Church every single day, even though the ministry of Houston Faith Church is under Pastor Chaz and I umbrella. I don't have to pray for it every day. That's why God brought you. That's why we're in it together. That's why I do almost thank God every single day for the prayers in this church and the prayer groups and the people that show up. But that comes from my heart. So I know it's effective. Hallelujah. Praying in tongues, Romans chapter 8. Turn with me very quickly there. I just want to show you a couple things. I know some of you are sitting in your chair today praying already that I don't go till 1:30 like last week. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. No, I'm kidding. I will say something about that. Can I say something about that? You know, like last Sunday, I didn't stand up here thinking, oh, Lord, please let me go till 1:30, or Lord, please let's stay long, or Lord, none of that. But, you know, we cry out for God and more of God all the time. And so when people were up here, I have to admit, I didn't think that many people were going to come. And then when I kind of got in the flow and started prophesying over people, and I would look up and there would be a whole lot of people,
you know, when you're in a place with the Lord, for one thing, you try not to get caught up in anything in the natural, what people are thinking or what people are doing or anything, because it'll take you out of the flow of the Lord. So I was trying to maintain my space, but I was very well aware that it was going along. And I remember a couple of times I would look up and I would think, oh my goodness, there's all these people. I got all these people to minister to. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful that they're there. I'm thankful that they're hungry. I'm thankful that they're wanting something of God. And there were a couple of times I would say, no, Lord, you know, it's getting late. We probably don't need to prophesy. And when I would stand in front of somebody, it's like the Lord would say, Just because they came later, don't release the word of the Lord? Or are we in a hurry so that the people that got ministered to before 12:30? I'm going to tell you, I tried several times in my heart, kind of with the Lord, and the Lord just wouldn't let me stop. Thank you, Lord. And I value God's love for you. And God's wanting to be present with you. And God's wanting to say something with you. More than what anybody else thought. Now, I'm not concerned about the people that left. I'm not upset about that. That's between you and the Lord. I'm okay with that. But I just want you to understand sometimes what the ministers go through. And the fact that when I'm praying, Lord, give us more, and Lord, let us have revival, I do have to wonder. Because if we have revival, like, we might not end at 12:30. And revival won't stay except upon me if everybody leaves. So these are heart checks. Because I really do want more of the Lord. And I want more of the Lord not just for me. I want more of the Lord for you. I want us to be so hungry. It's like every time we come to church, it's not like I'm just going because I'm supposed to be there today or I'm serving today or I got to get church done and then I got this and this and the whole. Just to meet with you, Lord. How precious is that? And to meet in the assembly, to meet together. I love when God touches you. I love when you have a vision or when you hear God speak. I am watching. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You know, when we pray in tongues, we're praying with the Spirit of God. I mean, do we recognize that we're praying with the Spirit of God, by the Spirit only? Listen. Tongues, nobody makes tongues come except the Spirit of the Lord. And when we're praying in tongues, it's the Spirit Himself taking hold with us. He's praying with us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. He helps in our weaknesses. That word in the New King James, in the King James, is actually infirmities, and it actually means weaknesses. It means this. It's defined as our inability to produce results. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our inability to produce results. In other words, when I go to pray, when I need help, when I know I got to call on God, I got to call on God because I at this moment, I don't know. I don't have anything in me that can produce the result that's needed. There's nothing in me that can bring the power of God on the scene. There's nothing in me that can bring the wisdom of God. There's nothing. I don't know the direction. I don't know. When I can't produce the result, the Holy Spirit helps me. The Holy Spirit comes alongside me for myself and for other people. The Holy Spirit grabs hold with me. He connects with me. It's like if I'm in the ditch, He jumps in the ditch with me. And then He yanks me up or pulls me out or pushes me over. I had a vision one time. I saw a huge, massive ball of a thick substance. When I saw the ball and the thick substance, I knew it was at church, at HFC, our God assignment. It was our kingdom assignment, the part of the kingdom that we, Houston Faith Church, are responsible for. In Houston, in the United States, and across the world. It represented all of our work. And we were all of the saints, it wasn't just me and Pastor Chaz, all of the people were pulling this ball. We were pulling. I mean, some people were like this and trying to pull like this, and some people were pulling like this, and it was a struggle. First of all, the ball was so big and it was so heavy, but it just was barely moving. I mean, it just, you could barely say it was moving. And it was so strenuous. We were all, you know, pulling and doing everything that we knew to do. And then all of a sudden, as I was watching, it's just like all of a sudden, us and all of the people were behind the ball and we were pushing the ball. And as we were pushing the ball, we weren't straining, we were pushing, we were using our effort, but it wasn't as strenuous, and the ball was moving more quickly. And the Lord said this to me. He said, this is the difference between praying in your own strength and praying with the Holy Spirit. He said, when the Spirit comes along, He helps you get up under it and push it to make it work more quickly and more efficiently. You need to pray in the Spirit. That's what the Lord said. He helps us. Glory to God. He helps us. Now, there's been so many times I'll be like, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. Lord, I don't even know what to say. I don't even know a scripture to start with, Lord. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. And He'll come along. Come on, He'll give you something. But listen, I believe this is a season. I said it. I know that things happen in the Spirit. Then we see things in the earth. And then also things that God moves and positions so that we can know what's coming. But I believe at Houston Faith Church, I believe we still have that great big ball. I believe that there's a lot of work. There's a lot of things that God has put under our responsibility. I believe in this hour that God is wanting to enlarge our platform of influence. I believe that. I believe that because that's what the Spirit has told me. And so if we're going to do that, and why do we want to do that? We don't want to do that just to say we did that. We want to do that because that is God's will. We want to get to heaven, and as a church, well done. Not that I had 30 things on the table and you accomplished two. No. But listen, if God is going to enlarge our place of influence, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to pray that through. We're going to have to pray that in. Even when we don't understand all of it, know what all of it means. If we're going to go to the next level, you know, we crossed the street. We crossed over into a new place. We crossed over into a larger place. That needs to happen spiritually as well. And I believe that's why there's a call to pray.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved, and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.